I'm the whip father.
I'm the whip father.
I like it. What was my dull unit? Tonight, dull unit and the whip father.
Yeah.
The whip father sounds like a German band.
Yeah.
Like a death metal band. I like it.
I'm the whip father.
And he goes, he's the whip father.
Dare whip father.
I like it. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Speaking of online dating, I found this is a couple of ways to... These are new online dating sites. Now, these are new to me. I'm not in the online dating game, so it's all new. We talked about Tinder. So here's one called Taste Buds.
Oh.
Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't. What
similar
is this?
Taste in music. Now, I would think it would be about food, which would be an easy way.
You could meet at certain places for dinner.
You like Thai food? I like Thai food.
Oh, God. The marketing person just totally hit, totally missed the target on that.
Taste buds.
Get it? Earbuds.
Yeah. A similar taste in music can be a great indicator as to whether you're compatible with someone. No,
no,
not
it's not.
At all.
No.
I like Rush. My husband hates Rush. All right. So the fine folks behind Taste Buds have struck gold with their music-based online dating site. Here's how you do it.
No.
It's dead simple. Anything that says dead simple, I'm like, I don't want to do it. Pick three artists or bands that you're interested in, the gender you're looking to date, and press go. That's too simple.
That's a little too simple. Yeah. That's just like, open your door and look outside. See the first three people?
But yes, that's why. I like so many. Like, so, okay, so for me, what if I pick, like,
first,
Rush,
yeah,
Bjork, Macy Gray. What the hell am I going to get?
You're right.
Like, what am I going to come up with? Or what if you put something weird? If you put, like, Van Halen, Thelonious Monk,
Yeah, right.
And who else? Show tunes.
Yeah. Were you in my iPod?
No. But that's what I'm saying.
Like, it's totally in there, except the Thelonious Monk.
There's too many different, like, things to do there.
Yeah.
All right. So here's another one. DoingSomething.com.
Doing something. You know,
this site is about the actual dating experience.
Way to wow me. Yes. Doing something.
And lets you pick a match based on the date that they suggested. So it's like, okay, I'd like to go skydiving. And it's like, oh, that seems like a fun date. Pick, I don't know if you're actually going to do that or not. So I'm thinking of guys or girls coming up with, like, tons of fantastic ideas that, like, it's not really going to happen. So rather than nervously meeting someone for a lukewarm coffee in a crowded chain, you could be trying out, which is fine. I think, like, you could be trying out your culinary skills at a sushi-making masterclass or bonding over some super strong cocktails at a hipster speakeasy. I mean, isn't that what you will do anyway?
Yeah, I totally saw both on Hitch, the movie.
Yeah.
And that was 10 years ago. They made that movie.
Doing something, obviously pruned, you know, what they had on there. Here's another one. Muddy Matches. Set up by two friends, Emma and Lucy, in 2006, Muddy Matches is aimed at muddies, who are any person who loves the countryside and is not afraid of mud, but has an internet connection.
Wait a minute. So there is an actual name for people who like to be out in the mud?
That's what Emma and Lucy are saying. So the site uses a muddy to towny ratio to match potential dates accordingly. Someone who lives in and breathes country air and despises all things concrete would have a ratio of 100. Someone who lives in the city but likes to don their hunters on the weekend might be a 30-70. I don't know how that's going to... So it's about how much you like the country?
But that's not the thing.
Are you in the country?
But that's more... It just sounds more fetishy, too.
Yeah.
Muddies.
Plenty of Fish, which I'm sure you heard of. POF, it has a POF relationship chemistry predictor test. That sounds like they just made some shit, a bunch of words and threw them in a blender.
Right.
Which measures self-confidence.
How do you measure that? How do you get it?
Family orientation.
What?
Away. I orient myself away. Self-control.
What do you do? You just like, I just punched somebody. Like, I don't know
Social dependency. And easygoingness.
How do you...
That's not even the thing.
It's not. It's just like, what are you willing to turn a blonde eye to?
Here's my favorite, and I think this one actually gets to the heart of things, beautifulpeople.com.
Oh, here we go.
To become a member, you're required to be voted in by existing members of the opposite sex.
All right,
members,
I've heard of this. Yeah.
Members rate new applicants over a 48-hour period. I guess you have 48 hours to look your best, based on whether or not they find the applicant beautiful. It sounds harsh, but the site claims that by admitting people based on their looks, they're removing the first hurdle of dating. I mean, it's just... Well, but there's got to be some serendipity to it. I find a lot of really attractive people fucking annoying.
Yeah, they're really...
And soulless. Uh-huh. You know, and self-centered. That's not what I'm looking for.
They've never had a try.
No.
They've never been... Yeah,
they haven't developed, like, all the things mm-hmm. that they need to develop.
No.
And, you know, they don't know that they're going to get old.
Right.
Like, and things are going to start to change.
Right.
And I think maybe it's more important for guys. I mean, but as a woman, it's like, that. The older you get, the lower on your tone about that. I mean, you don't want, sure, you don't want, like, Quasimodo.
Yeah, but you don't want to be valued as, no, that's your number one thing, because it's just not lasting. It just does not last.
I always say on your first date, you should look 60% as good as you can look. And just because you can keep that up.
Yeah.
If you go looking stunning on the first date.
It's like, forget it.
And then you wake up the next morning, it's like, who the hell are you?
But what about this? What about you wow them with your stunningness, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to start, then you start laying on the personality afterwards.
But what I'm saying is you got to keep that.
No, because like you do the trade-off. That's
the bait and switch.
Yeah.
If you come in with everything looking fantastic. And it's all an illusion. Mm-hmm. No amount of personality is going to cover up that lie.
No, but you slowly stop.
If you're wearing a hubba hindy and you have an A cup and you're sporting a D cup when you show up in a weave,
yeah,
and it all comes off.
Right. And no, but you just do it slowly. Slowly. So you, the next day you take away your false eyelashes.
But you're like a bitch.
No, and you tell a joke.
And then by the end, you just wear, just, you know, no hair and talk about Kierkegaard.
Yeah.
I like right. that one. All right, that could work.
Yeah, so you just, like, one for one, you know.
I'll give you one more, mysinglefriend.com.
No.
The brainchild, and that always just says it's a bad idea, a TV presenter, Sarah Beanie. And it works by each member of the site being able to put forward a description of their friend. The site aims to get rid of the cringe factor associated with having to big yourself up through your online profile. So this is like, I make a profile for you based on, like, loves opera, can sing opera.
That's right.
Like, it's what I think of you.
That's what you think of me. I have this, like,
but that doesn't mean that it's what someone else is going to see. Because what I see in my friends, like, I'm hoping that you guys don't reveal that to everybody. Because I know I don't. Listeners, what you're getting is different than, you know, what man on the street gets.
That's right.
So those are my the dating sites. Not bad.
They're not too bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
The beautiful either. People, not so much.
I like
but I like my switch up, my bait and switch.
I think I'm very old fashioned. I like to, like, trip and fall on a person. I'm like very 50s, you know, madcap comedy.
Yeah, right. How you meet someone. Yeah, you have to see them first.
Yeah, that's or like, you know, accidentally hit someone with your car.
Right. That's called a cute meat.
Yeah, I like
meat. No, it's called a meat cute.
I love a meat cute.
Yeah.
That should be our site, meetcute.com. We said that we throw people at each other and see how
that
they
would
react.
Be perfect. Meetcute. Just show up. We just say show up at a certain
and there'll
time.
Be banana peels everywhere.
Right.
Oil
Union,
slicks.
Union Square.
Yes, meet cute.
By the falafel stand.
Yeah.
Meet cute.
Meet cute.
It's going to happen.
Go. So much money.
I love it.
All right. And falafel. What do you have? Is this listener mail?
This is not even anything. This is just something that I want to... It's not a segment. It's just something I wanted to bring up because I'm seeing more and more of this in emails.
It just became a segment.
I know. It's just...
Hashtag.
All right. So you get an email and it's from somebody and then you look at their signature and it says their name and then below it says, sent from my iPhone. Please pardon any typos.
Is that standard?
No. It's not because I've seen several variations of it where people put in, please excuse any typos. I'm typing this from my cell phone. And it goes on with an explanation of why there could be typos.
Okay, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
And there's been several variations on it. So
is there
a
legal disclaimer?
It's not a standard. I don't think it's a standard.
I have
not
no idea. Yours. Okay, what does mine say? Nothing?
Nothing. So it's F off.
F off? It just says -J.
You find a typo, F off.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, you know, just sent from my iPhone, sure. You know, so you know where it's coming from, but it's like, excuse the typos. Because why would iPhone have that as a standard thing? Like, guess what? I'm not even going to spell your stuff right. Yes. Steve Jobs.
I think it's getting better over time. I am very, we've talked about this before, like, I try to make sure that my communication is correctly spelled.
Yeah.
And if it's like there's never a situation in my life where it's like, I gotta get this email off right now. Like, I can wait a few minutes, save it, and then have a look at it and send it later. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's for people who are, I don't know, just really got to shoot that email off right now and just don't give an F.
But then I think it's also for people who misspell a lot. And then that's true. Like, look, it's not me. It's my phone.
It's my phone.
And it's like, I don't trust you. No, it's you. I'm not going to want to do business with you.
Yeah.
If you don't have to do this.
It's not, you've got to be very, like, sending a long message from, like, I don't like to do it. I don't like to send a long email from my phone. It's usually going to be something quick and then... You know, I'm going to check it, though. I'm going to check it.
Yeah.
It's usually not misspelling. It's usually, like, just the wrong word.
Yeah, right. It's the autocorrect.
Yes, the autocorrect.
Yeah. But I've also seen the, in the signature, the whole email's in caps. And it says,
like,
I'm not.
Stop shouting.
I'm not shouting. P.S. I'm not shouting. I just have trouble seeing.
No, you're shouting.
You're shouting.
Sorry.
And it's offensive.
That's shouting. It's
So, I don't know.
I'm a dick at the end.
Just because I've seen so many variations on the pardon any typos, this is from my phone.
Yeah, people take that out. People
you got to stop it, everybody. Just stop it now.
It'll say it's from your iPhone.
Guess what?
No one's going to care.
We don't care. And
I probably just deleted it.
And we think you're an idiot.
Yeah, and you're a dick.
Doesn't matter.
So, unpopular science and technology.
Yes.
Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse, which apparently is like next year.
Yeah, you're right. It's happening.
It was like 2020, and now it's like that's over. So this is actually, we're going to crossfade this segment. I got a little advice on advice and a robot advice coming together. So this is a best practices on how robots should give advice. First of all.
Wait a minute.
They should not.
They shouldn't.
They should not. It says before long, aka next year, robots will be given help, giving us helpful advice, but we don't want them to be snippy about it.
No.
No, we don't. And I don't want their fucking advice either.
I know. Why? And where are they coming up with this advice? How do they?
They're trying to prepare us for the future. I think they're trying to get rid of teachers. So there was a study called How a Robot Should Give Advice. It was conducted at Carnegie Mellon. And then they presented the findings in Tokyo.
Okay.
So it says their giving advice can be tricky. We're pros. Because it can be seen as face threatening. I don't even know what that is.
What is a face
threatening? Don't threaten my face.
Face threatening? That's terrible.
You're saying, in effect, that the advisee is not smart. No. If I say, hey, can you help me out on this? I'm hoping that you're coming as an authoritative voice, right? They're saying no. The best approach, researchers suggest, and I wonder how much human contact these people have in their lab coats, is for the advisor not to claim to be all that smart either. First of all, I'm coming to you for advice.
So I'm saying,
please be smarter
you
than me.
You better be smart.
And they use informal language. No. See, in a series of experiments, human observers saw robots and humans as more likable and less controlling when used hedges like maybe, probably, or I think. When someone says that to me, I'm like, next, I need somebody else who knows what they're talking about.
Wait a minute. So that people like it when the robots are saying this?
They said they like it when people give advice and are not authoritative about it.
Okay.
I don't. I like my advice to be, if I'm asking you how to do something, I want you to show me clearly how to do it. And I want you to at least pretend like you know what you're saying.
No, yeah, when you ask for advice, you want it straight on. But when you're asking someone's opinion, that's when you say,
this is not opinion.
It's not like, exactly, like, how's my outfit?
Yeah.
You're like, well, you know, maybe if you tuck it in
that
would be something.
Instead of being like, you look a hot mess.
Right.
trash the whole thing. Have you seen me dressed like this? I look fantastic. So it says, then they want people feel more comfortable when people add things like, you know, just, well, like, and That's when I stop listening. You say like a couple of times, I'm out.
Yeah, right.
I'm done.
Or say right like five times around the fire. Just don't listen.
So the researchers videotaped novice bakers making cupcakes while a helper gave instructions. To compare reactions to robot and human helpers, they made duplicate videos in which a robot was superimposed over the image of the human helper, but keeping the original soundtrack.
That's really scary.
And so they found out that both humans and robots were described more positively when they used hedges and discourse markers, and robots using those strategies actually came out better than humans. So when the robot sounded unsure, people were happier with the robots than they were with
the human sound.
And that's why I'm saying these people are a bunch of pussies.
They really are.
Get over yourself.
What do they think, that robots know it all because they're robots? No, because they're programmed by somebody, so they don't.
I don't
understand.
And who
they've been programmed by. And do you want a robot therapist? I don't.
Well, that's where all this is going, because, you know, I'm thinking about 2017.
Yeah.
When everything falls apart. So basically this is teachers,
uh-huh.
therapists, trainers, like anyone who shows you or helps you how to do things. And my attitude to this is like, we have enough of those. I don't need someone to show me how to bake a cupcake more effectively.
And I don't, even the information booth at Port Authority, I don't need that.
No, I don't like any of those things. Sometimes you just want to ask the person how to do something. But also the fragility of people not being able to just be told what to do and just do it and get on with it.
Yeah, and just accept the fact that you don't know.
That's the whole point. I don't know.
It's the delivery system.
In the future, people are going to be very soft.
Yeah.
Very, very soft and fragile with these robots. And what if the robot gets just tired of people and being like, you need to man up. Snack.
Yeah.
That's where it's going next.
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, sweet. So Tales from the Campfire is my favorite segment. This is where we get information from the internet. It's folk tales, fake lore, urban legends, horror stories, ghost stories, tales of the paranormal.
That's right.
And all the other synonyms that go along with it.
Right.
And we retell them.
Around the digital campfire.
Yeah. So gather around.
Just gather around, listeners. Yeah. This one came in from Patricia a while back.
Oh, nice.
And he's been there.
This is Vintage Pat.
Vintage Pat. And there's also Chloe V who sends us a lot of things, too.
Chloe
and we've been, hi, Chloe.
Yeah, we parcel them out.
Yes, we have been. And I just wanted it. I read this one and I was like, man, you know, Christmas is coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's always
eight months, right? So everybody, you know, you better start being good because nobody's thinking about it until it gets cold out again. It's just starting to get warm now. No, just start being good.
Yeah. That's a sign for being good when it gets warm.
So Patricia sent us the thing, something called the Whip Father.
Ew.
Yeah.
Whip? I know.
The Whip Father.
Okay.
Yeah, like a whip.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Okay, the Whip Father is the French version of Santa's vile companion.
Oh, they're little black guys.
Yeah, right. Black
Pete.
Black Pete. In this story, three young boys are lost, seek food and shelter from a butcher or an innkeeper who has fallen upon hard times.
Mm-hmm. The three little boys?
Three little boys, yes. Hard
and they
times.
Probably also don't speak with good Parisian accents, and therefore making them evil.
Sure.
Yes.
The boys are from wealthy families, and so the Whip Father decides to try to profit from their demise.
Okay.
So he slits their throats.
Wait a minute, he's already lost it. He should have ransomed them.
I know. It's like they're wealthy
it's
boys.
It's a golden egg.
I know. It's just like stoops. The Whip Father's not very bright.
Okay.
And he's mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, everybody wants to buy dead kids.
Yeah. So he slits their throats and chops the boys to bits, throwing the pieces into a barrel of brine.
Pickled them.
Yeah. His intent was to further the profit on a slaughtered pig, which is also being preserved in the brine. So he's like, I'm going to stretch it. It's like Hamburger Helper.
But is there no other way to stretch that meal?
I know. It's so stupid. It's just dumb.
Puppies. Thing. Are there no puppies? It's there's dogs everywhere. It's France.
I know, right? He would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for Santa.
If it weren't for that meddling Santa.
Yeah, basically. So this is kind of Scooby-Doo in France.
Yes.
Around Christmas. There's a knock at the Whip Father's door. Santa knows the Whip Father has murdered three innocent young boys out of greed.
Is Santa a detective at this point?
Santa's badass in France.
Yes.
Naturally, with his magic powers, Santa restores the boys' lives and binds the Whip Father
to... So he can unpickle your ass.
He can.
Nice. And assemble you.
Right.
As well.
Oh, God. Imagine if, like, kids in America thought that he could bring people back to life.
Wow. I like that one.
And
he'd be biting on other people's deities' territory, but fine.
I know. So Santa restores the boys' lives and binds the Whip Father to an eternity of servitude.
Mm-hmm.
So the Whip Father is now dressed in dark clothing, wears a length of rope or chain. One could speculate and say the chains are a throwback to Dickens' Christmas Carol. You know, like his...
Wait, so he employs him?
Yes.
Why would you want this man? You have elves, you work with children.
I know.
Is there no, like, aren't you afraid he might do this again?
Yeah.
He's obviously got a salty tooth for young boys.
Right. So bring him back to life.
Yes.
For little girls, it's all different.
Forget it, yeah.
One could also speculate that chains are the blah, blah, blah. Whip Father wields a bunch of birch sticks, which he uses to beat naughty children.
He can still get his beat on.
Yeah, he can beat them with the sticks.
He just can't chop them up and try to further profit from
meal. Right. He's often depicted with unkempt hair and a long beard. And a sinister scowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then other images show him with a bundle of switches on his back or in a large wicker pack, which he...
The Grobman.
What did you say?
The Grobman.
The Grobman, yes.
Wicker.
And he uses to carry naughty children away to be slain.
Okay, Santa Claus, let's stop for a second.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, props for bringing these kids back to life. But, I mean, really, you need to vanquish this foe at some point. Like, bringing him into your employ and letting him, because you're constantly surrounded by kids. Mm-hmm. You're traveling the whole world. Mm-hmm. You're basically bringing death and destruction and whippings.
Yeah, it's a weird, sadistic, and threatening thing. So Santa has a dark side, too, to have this guy.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, look. Santa is saying that he works for him, but it sounds like they work together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? Like, good cop, bad cop. Team.
Yes. Good cop, bad cop. I wonder where that comes from.
I am the whip father.
This is clearly some kind that has some pagan influence to it.
This is my,
why is Santa Claus, none of this makes any sense to me.
It doesn't.
I don't get France.
It doesn't. And but that's my father. That's my new band name.
I'm the Whip Father.
I'm the Whip Father.
I like it. What was my Dull Unit? Tonight, Dull Unit and the Whip Father.
Yeah.
The Whip Father sounds like a German band.
Yeah.
Like a death metal band. I like it.
And the Whip Father.
And he got he's the Whip Father.
Dare Whip Father.
I like it. Right. So speaking of whip, I have some penis news.
Oh.
And this was weird because, all right, when the going gets tough, the tough draw penises. So apparently, a 40-year-old adult man, I don't know why they had to put adult on here. I guess to underscore the
40-year-old
juvenile nature of what he does. A 41-year-old adult man.
40-year-old sprite.
Sean Ludwig was exceptionally displeased by the apparent infidelity of his former girlfriend, 40-year-old Lana Trevison, whom he reportedly left his own wife and two kids to pursue. So. What? This guy is some kind of a painter, okay. And he'd given this woman some paintings. Okay. And he thought that she was cheating on him. The woman that he'd left his wife and kids for cheated on him. So he snuck into her apartment and channeled his rage into drawing penises on the artwork that he had given her.
What? Wait a minute.
So he'd given this woman some paintings.
Yeah.
And then he was upset because apparently she was cheating on him.
So he snuck
in. He broke into her house and defaced his own work and drew gigantic penises on it.
So he was trying to give it to her one last time.
I guess, sticking it to her.
Yeah.
He said, I just wanted to update the pieces. I augmented my work to reflect my emotions at the moment.
Well, he's an artist. Yes. So this is perfectly acceptable. The B&E.
B&E is fine. Yeah. B&E. Because it was to express himself.
I wonder what the penises look like. Are they good? Like,
it says it's just gigantic yellow penises.
Yellow?
Yeah. Oh. I guess that's the only paint he had at the time. I don't know. So it says Ludwig is a member of the Power of Now group.
No pun intended.
Yes.
It's a member.
which describes itself as a forum for quote-unquote discussion and learning the methods of living in the present moment. But it doesn't say anything about drawing penises on things. He also emailed all of her colleagues at the Gansford Hotel where she worked and called her a harlot, a little out of date, and a homewrecker, also completely out of date.
A harlot. It's like Little House on the Prairie times.
But then afterwards he felt bad and sent her a text. There were no penises in the text, but he said, sorry about the paint. I was a little drunk this weekend. Really? Okay, now, Katie and I have both been a little drunk.
Yeah.
At no point have we done a B&E and then defaced our own work.
I have never broken into Jaquetta's house, gotten into her computer, and then re-recorded it, it.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't like that tale.
Like, I don't understand. There's so many things you could do to show displeasure,
yeah.
But breaking into someone's house
drawing giant
penises on your work.
It could have been anything, but he picked the penis.
Yeah.
So it means something.
It must mean something to him.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the guy was Asian she was cheating with? I have no idea.
Big yellow penis.
No idea at all.
Have to look at this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What? How bizarre. And embarrassing. Amazing.
Yeah.
This was all over the news as well. What do you have?
I have here, I have advice.
On advice?
On advice.
Okay. So advice on advice is a segment that we do. I feel like did we just do some advice on advice in this podcast already? Are you sure?
Yeah,
I gave robot advice on advice. Okay. Advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that we think stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And unqualified, and we want to improve upon it with our own advice, hence advice on advice. So Katie has got a nice thick piece of advice here.
Sure is. Yeah,
a steaming helping
pile
of advice.
Advice. Okay, this is called mature relationships.
Oh, no. I know where this is going already.
I'm a widow.
Gigantic penis paintings everywhere. What a loser.
I'm a widow in her early 60s in a very serious, hopefully permanent relationship with a kind...
That's a lot of qualifiers. It's a serious, hopefully permanent.
Yeah.
Where's he going? You're in your 60s.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Right. I know.
If you can't lock it down then.
Right.
Forget it.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
With a kind, caring, successful, mid-60s widower who would be ideal, except that he is clueless about the female anatomy and how to please it. Uh-huh. Please the anatomy.
Oh, yes.
Please it.
How to please it.
It.
Why? And it just
made me think of like a giant... like clam.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
That's a please it.
Please it. Okay. And so I thought it was a get some. A look at it.
That his late wife never went down on him in their 30 plus year marriage suggests that there was, no, why does she have to bring that into it?
Because she's a modern woman.
Suggests there was a lack of communication that explains his problem. Mm-hmm. Though he is unselfish, enthusiastic, and believes he drives me wild, he never finds the target.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm very sexual, orgasmic, and quite experienced.
That's quite clear.
So this, what? Please it.
You need to please it.
When you're with a woman who says you need to please it.
Yeah. Run. Okay.
You might be here with this lady. So she's quite experienced. So the lack of knowledge frustrates, clearly. To complicate matters, after my husband died, I met two lovers extraordinaire, contemporaries who rocked my world but had few other redeeming qualities.
Okay.
How do I tell a sincere man he needs remedial sex school without offending or deflating him?
I'm sorry. At this point, at no point in your life can you discuss it. Like, you're in your 60s.
Yeah.
Have a conversation.
Just, you don't know yet? You don't know that yet? Have a nice conversation.
Yeah, like, what is she doing? She's putting on a whole show in there. He probably thinks he's knocking it out.
Right.
He's pleasing the hell out of it. He's know what the problem is. She's ruined it by putting on that little show.
Yeah, she absolutely did. You can't do that.
Yeah, now it's too late. Now he's going to be like, wait a minute. So I was not pleasing
him. I mean, you're not supposed to be like, mm-mm. You know, you have to be nice to people.
There are a lot of films out there, instructional pamphlets.
Right.
All right.
There's all kinds of things you could do. All right. And the answer is...
And the answer is, ladies and gentlemen,
the advice.
Yeah.
Is there's a serious disconnection in your description of your lovemaking, or perhaps we should call it stumble bumming with your beau.
Ooh,
is this person?
Oh, no, don't even say that again. That sounds terrible. Don't say it again, please.
It won't.
It's awful. Okay.
Even after 30 plus years of marriage, this guy's unacquaintance with the female anatomy means he can't find the target, then you are seriously misleading him if he thinks this shooting and missing is leading to your ecstasy.
Yes. This guy is 60 years old. So let's say he's a late bloomer. Let's say he started, he was married for 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So let's say he started being active
in
his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 40 years of just... arrows flying all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, not a one in the target.
And like, who knows what happened with his first one.
Yeah.
You know, but leaving the impression that someone is a great lover when in reality he is utterly inept makes suggesting remedial action all the more difficult.
Yeah. You know? It's too late for that now.
But if you intend to make him your intended, you must address these deficits.
Oh. Golden Girls.
It sounds...
Pewter Girls. Gold-plated girls.
It sounds if you have...
What about Blanche DuBois?
What would Blanche say?
Yes.
Blanche.
Yeah.
It sounds as if you have enlightened him about the interesting things that happen when genital meets mouth. Oh
really? Okay, you know what? Old people...
I don't know. I don't like either one of these people.
Yes.
You know, like with what they made me conjure up in my head?
Yes.
This advice is
too bawdy.
It's too gross. It's just too off. It's too gross.
There's something off about this. It's like milk that's been in the refrigerator too long. Like you shake it and it's like chunky.
Solid,
it's not right.
And then you still have to smell it.
Yeah, you still have to deal with it.
That's what we're doing here.
To make sure.
Listeners, we're all smelling it together.
Yes, we looked at the date as past it, but we, you know.
Okay.
It's still there.
Yes, you have to approach this delicately, but address it you must, or else all the wonderful qualities will seem like a teaser because you'll primarily think of him as a dud in the sack.
Can she not get back with the other two guys?
Yeah, they weren't that great, though.
But, I mean, she could hang out with this guy and, like, have conversation with him, but do the do.
I mean, how about this? You know, you're in your 60s. Don't you realize there's not going to be one guy that's going to be the perfect package for you?
Yeah. And what's more important?
Yeah.
I mean, there's, I don't know. I think there's a way to, but she did shoot herself in the foot by pretending like it was all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah. Oh, God. You're right. Let's see. Since you've established your sexual bona fides, tell him you want to keep adding to your repertoire.
Oh my! And anytime someone says repertoire, you know you haven't done shit.
Yeah.
When they say you need to add it to your repertoire, you don't have a repertoire. You don't have anything.
Right. It took some classes.
They're like, why don't you build a repertoire?
Yeah.
Just put one thing in there. Start with that.
Yeah. Find some instructional videos that are erotic but not hardcore, and watch them together.
Skinamax.
Yeah. Right.
Emmanuel.
Joys of a woman.
Joys
of a
woman.
Why not?
Just anything with Tom Skerritt in it would be appropriate for these people.
Note while you're watching the things that turn you on. Then afterwards...
And make sure you can do them.
Yeah. Right.
Let's just be clear.
Right. Yeah, don't be like, you know, do that other thing.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, don't be afraid to guide his hand in other parts to show him what you like.
She should be doing this anyway. Is this woman just lying there?
Yeah.
She's not doing anything.
She's like, I'm so experienced.
Yeah, we got you, lady. You don't know what's going on.
Clearly what his wife liked was 3 minutes in the dark, so anything beyond is a mind blower for him. Right? You know what? She hasn't done any of that
stuff. Yeah, she hasn't done anything.
She doesn't know what she's doing.
She has no idea what she's doing. She's had some dudes running all around her.
Yeah.
Running up on her piece, as it were.
Yeah.
And now she's like, wait, I have to do something here?
Yeah.
These things are basic. And she's in her 60s? Yeah. I would understand if she was a young woman.
Right.
Or inexperienced woman. But it sounds like, according to her, you know, she's done quite a few things. Maybe not so much. Maybe she doesn't have... Her repertoire is lacking.
Yeah, maybe she's like, ha-cha-cha, I'm not stuck.
If you can't talk about it, you shouldn't be doing it.
Right. There you go.
That's our advice.
Come on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Speaking of which, she could take some of, here's some things here. If she's going to go out and find a new guy, I have some suggestions for her, some foods she should skip before going out on that hot date.
Oh, yes, because, you know, you have to prep yourself when you go out on a date. You have to
do your hair, your outfit, shoes, perfume, all that kind of stuff. And now you have to think about what not to eat. So number one, garlic.
What?
For the obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Also known
and
as
also
stinky
for the
rose.
For the not so obvious, what if, because you know the Twilight series,
huh? Oh, if it's a vampire,
yeah. Well, if they're like role playing as vampires,
oh, then that's
on,
not
on
good.
Their first date.
It says that here, no amount of gum or mints can overcome the pungence of the stinky rose unless you're trying to escape sucking face with a vampire. Two, spaghetti. Avoid that on a date. Gracefully twirling noodles is about as easy as herding cats. I have one word for you. Spoon. Why does no one use a spoon?
Right. Use a spoon that's very
Italian,
easy.
Italian, help me out on this one.
And it looks... I'm part Italian.
Yes.
I can tell you.
So can part of you tell? It says there's nothing sexy about unruly strands splattering tomato sauce all over your lap. Just learn how to eat.
Yeah. Just practice at home a few times. You'll be fine.
Number three, beans. I don't think I need to say anything about that. I don't even think they serve that at restaurants.
They don't. They don't.
You never go to a place where it's like, we got beans and we got beans.
Right.
That's going to be my restaurant.
Bean choices. Beans. That's going to be the name of your restaurant.
Yes. Beans with a Z. I'm going to put it in the hood. Spinach.
What?
A leafy green vegetable is great until it sticks to your teeth and remains there.
See, that's a low risk. That's a low risk.
Yes, low. That is very, very low risk. Soup.
Why?
There's a time and place for soup, but it's the slurping, apparently.
Again, practice at home.
Yeah, who does that? What's wrong with you?
I don't people.
Spicy food. Save the heat for the bedroom. A spice-induced sweat is guaranteed to be awkward, especially when your makeup starts to melt. So I'm saying don't eat jalapenos? Is that?
That's actually, you know what? You've seen me eat spicy food in your presence, and I'm very pale.
Yes.
And so you've seen the sweat and the blotchiness.
But it's... I mean, you
I'm
know
not
that about
I know that. Yeah, so I'm not going to do it on a date. Yeah, sure.
Asparagus.
Why?
Apparently, and I don't know what's happening on these dates, but it leaves a quite a remarkable scent in one's urine.
Well, if you're...
So that's a part of your repertoire.
Yeah. then by all means.
Then don't do it. It says it's vegetables and no-go if you're planning to go farther than second base.
Oh.
I'm sorry, second base taking a pee on somebody? Is that golden shower second base? Things have changed.
So, right? Like, so kissing is getting to first base. Golden shower.
Golden shower is second base.
Third is touching boobs.
Yeah. And then sex doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
There's no base. They just go home.
You had sex before you started kissing.
It says here, bottomless.
That's being up at the bat.
Bottomless booze. Bottomless anything. Gentlemen, yes, for bottomless drinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. It says red meat.
My.
Great taste, smelly results. A study in the Czech Republic found out that subjects who ate red meat were perceived as having a less pleasant, less attractive, more intense odor. I've been to the Czech Republic. It ain't the meat.
Yeah, it's like too bad. I'm eating the meat.
But it's not the meat. That's not what people
that's
think.
That's somebody who doesn't want you to order the filet mignon on the date. Yeah. They're making that up. Oh, you smell.
So here's what you can eat.
Great.
Salmon.
No.
Whole grains. And dark chocolate. So just order that. Just have a nice seared salmon with a side of quinoa and a little bit of chocolate on top.
That's
and then
it.
You're going to be good.
Yeah, be like, put your plate into thirds and it should be equal portions.
Get some dark chocolate, whole grain, and salmon. Really, asparagus?
Come on. I mean, people need to get over that. Because asparagus is great.
It's good for you, too. All right, what do you have?
All right, I have here.
You seem surprised. You have like a shitload of stuff over there. Are you holding it back?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
The Week in Bigots.
Yeah, the Week in Bigots. This is a new segment that we haven't had for a while where we look at just some terms that we use every day that actually are quite racist.
Yeah, and so people don't even know they're being racist, and we just want to let you know.
You can continue to use them.
We don't care.
You know.
But we're just, bringing
just
it up.
Just letting you know.
Okay, so here is the word of the day.
Okay.
And it's hooligan.
Oh, no. Let me guess. This is, it's used, it's Scottish? Right? As it used to describe football fans?
Yeah, it's usually, the way we use it, it's a tough or aggressive or violent youth. Mm-hmm. A hooligan. And it's like, I was nearly killed on my drive home by a group of hooligans playing paintball on the interstate.
You know.
That's what one does.
On the interstate?
It's basically, what you're saying is, I was nearly killed on my drive home by a group of dirty Irish drunkards playing paintball.
Not even Scottish.
Yeah, it's Irish.
Oh,
again, the
no.
Irish are just not
Why?
Getting a break.
Is it from Houlihan?
It's from Houlihan.
Yeah.
Very good, yes. The earliest use of the word hooligan dates back to a British newspaper and police reports in the summer of 1898.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have adapted the word from the Houlihan family, a group of...
One family! That's
one
terrible!
Family. And a group of Irish immigrants living in London.
Mm-hmm.
The family became known for their hilarious drinking songs, jigs, and their enthusiastic...
Well, they sound cool!
I know, right? I wanted to be a hooligan.
Yeah.
And their enthusiastic police brutality that tended to...
Their enthusiastic police brutality? What does that even mean?
Yeah, and they...
They just set up on the cops?
Yeah, and they start calling it Irishness. Right?
You know how they do. That's so funny.
So that despite the beatdowns, the Houlihans continue to fight for the right to party. And
because you gotta.
Yeah, and Houlihan turns into a hooligan.
I didn't know that.
It. Yeah.
So they talk about hooliganism, usually with the football fans in the UK. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I learned this when I was learning Spanish, that La Jara is what a lot of, I think it's Mexicans, call the police. And it comes from O'Hara.
La Jara.
So it's the police as O'Hara. It's interesting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not a slur of any kind.
Oh, well, not at all.
No, not at all.
Not Officer O'Hara.
Yeah, O'Hara. So, interesting. It's interesting to hear that Irish people are known for this kind of behavior, but also known as the force of law as well.
That's so
cool. I like that one. The Week in Bigots.
Yep.
Very nice. Here's something I found quite interesting. I won't read the whole thing because it's very scientific, and we would need our scientists from Science U to help us out on this.
Oh, right.
But three parent pregnancies is going to be the next thing.
What?
So it says...
go ahead.
That Britain is on track to become the first country to permit three-parent pregnancies, with the first tri-parental babies due to be born as early as next year.
What could go wrong?
I don't know. Some people don't even have one fucking parent around there. Now, this poor kid has three.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds kind of creepy, or maybe a bit kinky, but the intriguingly... It doesn't sound kinky at
all. Not at all.
If no one is thinking about two dudes sticking it into one woman at the same time.
No.
That's not what we're thinking about at all. So it's a form of in vitro fertilization where a mother who's unable to have a healthy child has her genetic information taken from the nucleus of one of her eggs and is put into somebody else's hollowed out eggs.
Okay.
And then they stick a sperm with it as well, because you need that part.
Yeah.
So it's two mothers and then one sperm, one guy that goes in. So it's for women. They say it's going to be for women who have mitochondrial disorders that can give kids, you know, muscular dystrophy, epilepsy, liver, kidney failure, brain disorders, different kind of birth defects. So, but they're saying that the real reason is going to be to create, like, designer babies.
Yes, of course it is.
Which is, I think, going to happen anyway. And they it's interesting because for the designer babies, whenever I read this thing, I always think, is it written by, like, a short person? Because they're always like, they're going to want to make people taller. Yeah, of course. I'd want to be a few inches taller.
And you want to have, there's going to be a stronger, lot of desirable, smarter.
Smarter, but no one's ever going to be like, you know, I'd like a short, dumb kid who's quite slow.
Right.
Possibly more rotund than usual.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world.
No, I think it's the idea of the designer kids. I mean, it's to eliminate the diseases that are lying dormant and that pop out later.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the kind of thing.
That's the kind of thing that people are going to work on.
It shouldn't be about eye color or skin or,
but if you know,
height.
If you can choose those things later, I don't, first of all, I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if you can make someone smarter.
No,
and then even if you are smart, we know a lot of smart people who don't do shit.
Right. So you have to be, a go-getter.
Yeah. Like, it's not just.
Where's the go-getter gene?
Yeah. I mean, look at George Bush. He was a president. Obviously, he's a moron.
Yeah.
Right? He was knuckle-dragging. So it's just interesting because they are always so scared that any, like, advance is going to lead to people having designer babies. What's the worst thing that someone could have?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like, do you think
that your baby's too awesome?
But everything, yes, your baby's just killing it too much.
Yeah.
So I guess they're afraid that, like, rich people will have better looking kids. And believe me, I went to boarding school. They already do.
Yeah.
They're not waiting for, like,
anything
science
to happen.
They
figured it out.
They picked someone else who is very attractive or thin or whatever they want. If you're blonde and you want your kid to be blonde, then you should marry someone who is blonde.
That's it.
And I don't know why that would be everyone's preference, though.
Yeah. Like, yeah, right?
Like, there's an idea that there's one kind of thing that people are going to...
A beauty aesthetic that people want, and
so,
it's not necessarily it.
But if we all know that if you have straight hair, you want curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. You know, like, if you have one this, you want something else.
Absolutely.
So it's, like, I don't know. I'm not that concerned about it. Although I would be... I hope that there's never, like, a custody battle.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was going to ask. What about the two moms?
It doesn't...
Does it address it at all? Does it say...
It doesn't say anything about it, because I'm assuming that the woman who is donating the hollowed out egg is like a healthy woman who's donating it because she wants to allow another woman to have her own child.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's someone who's like... It's basically like if I gave you an eggshell.
Yeah.
And then I come back later and I'm like, look.
Guess what?
I'm going to need that kid because you had my eggshell.
Yeah.
So the kid is not going to be related to the
And then
shell
I'd say
donor.
Back, yeah, you gave me a house, but I made it a home.
Exactly. But what?
Is that terrible?
The worst part about it, I can think of it, if it's more than one sperm, now you have two dudes who don't want to do their responsibilities.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, can you imagine?
Oh,
my
God.
Two dads, actually.
Oh, God.
In reality.
Well, kind of to piggyback on that, I have listener mail.
Oh, awesome. Who's it from this time?
It's from Greg.
Oh, God.
Your
okay.
husband.
My husband.
Yes. Greg's great. Greg listens
and
sends us emails. Okay, this one is called, when you donate sperm via Craigslist, are you shocked you're on the hook for child support?
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, basically.
People can, Greg and I met on Craigslist, and that's as far as I go.
Yeah, that's it. And, but you also did it at a time when Craigslist...
Weren't killing each other.
Yeah, nobody killed each other on Craigslist. It was new. It was fun.
Why would you buy sperm, like what is that, retail? What's going on here?
Yeah, this was, happened. This guy, William Morota, he didn't intend to be a father when he responded to a Craigslist ad for sperm donors.
What did he think was going to happen with that sperm? Someone's going to do a facial with it? Come on. You
know what this was in 2009.
No, but seriously, if I say, Katie, I need to borrow your phone, what do you think I'm going to do with it? Make a call.
Yeah, but this is what I know.
You can't be like, I can't believe I'm on the hook for these phone calls.
No, well, this is what happened. So they went ahead, he donated the sperm. These two women wanted sperm to have their own child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she had the child, and the woman who conceived is now actually went for assistance, state assistance.
Okay.
All right, so it's like, whatever.
Oh,
like
and the state is like, guess what?
Yeah, the state is like, oh, well, we've been paying for this child, for the assistance. You know, you have to get the father to pay. And because they did not go through the parties, they didn't go through an agency or have a licensed physician at some point with an artificial insemination do the, you know, the involved in the whole process, he is considered the father.
Wow.
And so...
That's a sticky area of the law. I can see why Greg sent this one in. They were probably discussing this on their chat rooms.
Yeah. It was the state that sued the father, not the mom. It was once she went on state assistance.
Wow.
She didn't want to sue him. She didn't want him to be the father or to pay anything, and the state did.
You know what I would do if I were that father? I would take that kid. I'm not going to pay for that kid to be raised by somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up 17%. I'd rather keep the 17% and keep the kid.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's so interesting. So,
I mean, but this is the reason why you have to use lawyers to do things like this. You just can't go around asking people for sperm.
Yeah, they had a waiver.
Sperm.
They had a written waiver.
What does that mean?
But it doesn't say. It's not valid.
Was this like on a post-it note? Like, this sperm does not entitle me to.
Yeah.
So that's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
Yeah, that's an
awesome.
Interesting one. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
But yeah, I don't know of anyone who's met anybody through any of these sites. Match, mm-hmm. Tinder, eHarmony, Chemistry...
It's scary. It's scary to meet somebody. It's scary to be like, because you know what the thing is? Are we recording?
Yeah, but I'll take this off.
No, we can if you want. You can keep it on if you want. But the thing is, like, you're basically going on the computer like, I want to get laid.
Or your phone.
Yeah. And they're like, who's going to show up? And it's like, a bunch of guys show up.
Who's going to show up to my vagina?
Yeah.
And it's creepy for guys, too, because... You know, I think for women, we assume, oh, like, it could be dangerous. But the guys are like, she could be crazy.
She could be.
It could be a trap.
Trap?
I'm just trying to think of a guy. It could be
we'll have to ask our next guest.
We'll have to ask our next guest. So